Today's reading is Psalm 73. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, "How would God know? Does the Most High know anything?" This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you, yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Mark. I'm the lead pastor here, and this morning's sermon is going to be a little bit interactive, so you will need your phone, and I know you've got them because you all checked in, didn't you? Like good citizens of the Victorian State Government, you've checked in this morning. Well done. So get out your phones. Youth, if you don't have a phone, you can go and borrow your parents with their permission, of course, and we're going to do a little bit of a menti to start the morning. So if we can flick over our screen to do our menti on one of the screens, which is, I only found out what this was during the week, but it seems like a fun thing to do. So what you need to do is go to menti.com. So open a browser, Safari, Chrome, some other browser that you have, and go to menti.com, and then it'll ask you to put in a code, so you can put in 5776-3343, submit, and then you'll get to do this little survey, which I've put together, which asks a couple of little questions, so which you agree or disagree. So the first one there, I am a verbal processor. Well, me personally, I am not. I'm a cognitive processor. I process internally in my brain first before speaking. So for that one, I'm going to say strongly disagree. And then the next one, I'm emotionally expressive. That is also not me. So I'm going to strongly disagree with that one too. And then I feel the answer before I think about it. Well, I don't know about that one. I might put mine. So you can go ahead and put in your responses, and we'll see how that goes as we're coming up. Be interesting. It'd just be really interesting to see how we're, what kind of people are we here this morning? We're, so far we've got So far, we've got more verbal processes and quite expressive people emotionally. Oh, that's good. Wonderful. Well, we've got another question there that will come up a little bit later on. But you can, if you need a bit of time to think about that. There was a bit of a joke on me with the youth leaders on Friday night, and Karen talking about how I take time to think about how I feel about things, and so I'll get back to you in 3 hours was the joke. So if you need 3 hours to fill this in, go for it. That's fine. All right. Well, friends, have you ever thought that maybe God cares for you? Maybe he cares for you. And not just in a general way, that he's somehow distant and he cares for your general well-being. What about that God actually likes you? That maybe he's fascinated with the things that you think and feel and the decisions that you make? What if he cares about not just what you do on Sunday morning, but how capable you are and the influence that you can have on the people around you throughout the week just by the way that you interact with them? What if God loves the investment that he's made into you? What if he loves the unique possibilities he has placed within you? And what if he sees the struggles and the pain and the confusion and the weird emotions and the stuff that just doesn't make sense? And what if he wanted to help you and walk with you through that? Today we are looking at something that strikes me as one of those extraordinary proofs that God really cares and wants to provide help. He wants to walk with us through all of the strange and wonderful experiences that we have as humans. So we're spending some weeks focusing on our prayer life, and one of the tendencies that we can have is to narrow down into certain ways of praying. We might have a handful of different types of conversations that we have with God, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you're praying, you're praying. And I think one of the first rules of prayer is there are no rules. Prayer is prayer. But we can learn and we can grow. And perhaps there's a richness that goes beyond what we normally do. So today we are looking at pray like Asaph. He wrote, his name is against 12 of the Psalms. And we're thinking about going beyond Acts. I don't know if you know Acts. It's a little acronym that helps us to pray. If you're learning how to pray, it's a great way to think about different types of prayer. So it stands for, A stands for adoration. So this is adoring God, showing him our worship and our praise, and just saying, God, you are so good. You are wonderful. And just describing those things, giving glory to him in adoration. So not just starting with a shopping list of here's what I want to ask, but starting with just how good God is in and of himself. Because we all worship something or someone. It's just a question of who or what. Is it my phone as I bow down to my phone each and every day? Or is it worshiping a famous person or a social media influencer? We're all worshiping someone. We're all giving adoration to someone or something. So adoration. Confession. Confession is to say, I'm really sorry, God. I stuffed up here. I've done the wrong thing, or I haven't done the right thing. To confess. Thanksgiving is just saying, thank you for all these wonderful things that are in my life. And then supplication, S, stands for these are our petitions, our requests, what we want to ask God to intervene on. Now, we could just have that list of supplications, that list of things that we'd like to ask God. We could say, "Dear God, I need this, and those people need that, and you know, here's all the things that are wrong. Please intervene and fix them." But it's good to have thanksgiving and confession and adoration too. Today, we're looking at someone's prayer life that is perhaps quite surprising. This is a psalm of Asaph. A psalm literally means a praise. So the book of Psalms is the book of praises. And it's basically a collection of prayers from a variety of authors. And it's really diverse. If you're wanting to expand your prayer life, then praying through the Psalms can be a great help. And I mean, God has endorsed a whole book of the Bible to be a bunch of prayers and then said, "Here, you have permission to pray anything." There's anger in there. There's joy in there. There's questioning God, saying, "Why?" or "How long?" There's victory. There's sadness. There's grief. There's shame. And the Psalms are not only a variety of experiences, but they're written by a variety of people. King David wrote some. There's Psalms that are attributed to the sons of Korah, and there's Asaph. Now, Asaph was a great singer and a musician. His ministry was during the time of King David and King Solomon, and he was clearly so influential that he started a legacy. There was a guild of the Asaphites that started because of Asaph. And I think the Asaphites sounds like a pretty good name for a band. Yeah? Youth band? Maybe you want to be the Asaphites. And I even checked on Spotify and no one's taken it yet. So quick, someone go and be the Asaphites. Anyway, there's 12 Psalms that have Asaph's name on them. And this particular one, Psalm 73, seems to be dealing with envy. It's dealing with envy. So it's that feeling of looking at someone else and seeing how good their life is and wishing you had what they had. Maybe they've got the car you wish you had. Or maybe they go on the holiday you wish you could go on. Or they have the Instagram feed you wish you had. And you're drawn to try and adopt their life as your life. You want to become them instead of becoming more you. Specifically here in Psalm 73, we have the envy experienced by Asaph when he looks at very successful and affluent people who are not believers in Yahweh, in the living God. He sees people who have a very different worldview and belief system, and he feels, "I would prefer their life." Wow. Let's read through it again. "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart." So he starts with an affirmation. "But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Now, in Asaph's particular experience, the people he is envying, he has in mind, he thinks of them as arrogant and wicked. Of course, you could envy people who are lovely and nice. But he envies the wicked and the arrogant, yet he still envies their life. He has FOMO. FOMO is fear of missing out about them, what he doesn't have. His devotion and his dedication to God is starting to slip because, oh, their life looks good. Even though they're arrogant and a nasty lot of people, their life looks good. And his attention has been drawn away. And Asaph knows exactly who he's talking about, so much so that he can catalog in quite some detail these people that he has become fixated on. He says, they have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. They. This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. So these are powerful, famous, beautiful, fit and healthy people with a lot of money. And they're constantly trying to get people's attention to say, forget about God, worship me, give me all of your adoration and attention. It's amazing how in a few thousand years since this was written, how little things change. The rich and famous continue to draw people to worship them instead of God. And then Asaph goes on with perhaps some of the most candid words spoken from the heart. This is brutal honesty, putting into words his inner feelings and where envy had led him. He says, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I've been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. He feels like his faith is in vain. It's like, what is this faith even for? And he's honest about it. This is one of the most incredible things about Asaph. He is both emotionally engaged. He's emotionally engaged because he's identifying exactly what feeling is inside him, but he's also emotionally controlled. He's doing something methodical with his feelings and his experience. And then he's working through it before God. He's not just venting or letting off steam. He's putting pen to paper and turning it into music. He puts it into a song. If you're here and you think religion is about saying the right things, or if religion is about a certain code of etiquette and feeling all the right feelings, and if you think that you have some of the wrong feelings under the religion banner, then either you don't belong or you have to kind of hide those aspects of yourself. If you think religion's like that, then you've come to the right psalm, because it breaks that mold completely. It is emotionally engaged with the depths of the human experience, and it's authentic about it, and it works through that experience in a helpful way. There's a chapel in Rome, the St. Anselm Chapel, that has this inscription. It's in Latin, but here it is in English for you. Well, for me, I know you all know Latin. This is just for me. When we stand before God, let not the heart wander, for if the heart does not pray, the lips move in vain. For if the heart does not pray, the lips move in vain. How do I know that God loves me and cares for me? Because he's preserved this psalm down through the ages and he's put it in front of me at just the right time. He knows that I feel all the feels. Whether that is envy or anger or confusion, and maybe, just maybe, this idea of emotion coaching or emotional intelligence, the latest language, maybe that's not a new thing. Maybe God has been providing for our whole well-being for a very long time. It shouldn't take us to come across people like Jim Carrey, you know, the actor Jim Carrey is rich and famous. We shouldn't need him to say these things, but they surprise us. He says, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so that they can see it's not the answer. He's speaking from the other side of envy for us and saying it's empty. It's not the answer. Envy is deceiving. It doesn't tell you the truth. And Asaph methodically works through envy in front of God and in front of us. He says, "If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny." So he sees that fame and fortune doesn't give you an ultimate goal. It doesn't satisfy. It is an illusion to chase after. And envy is shattered in the presence of God. He says, "When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Some of you will be in connect groups this week and will study this psalm. And when you're doing that, maybe have a look through this psalm and notice when the focus is on I, the I language, I feel this, when Asaph is focusing on himself. And then notice when it's on they, the attention is on the other. And then when it shifts to you, God, you. And just that movement of attention, I, they, you, it shows us that this is not a simple prayer. It's a complex prayer. It's actually more of a process that Asaph goes through. It is a healing, and it is a restoration. It is an emotional expression of genuine doubt and FOMO. And then it's a discovery or a rediscovery of the goodness of God. I don't know if you've never heard this before or if you've heard it 1,000 times, but God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus came into the world. The very presence of God came to be with us, wrapped in flesh. He loved us so much that he gave his life for us, so that we can say, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God, Jesus, is the strength of my heart." I recently had the experience of feeling spite. Spite is a type of anger that is directed at another person. It is kind of like revenge, where they've hurt me, and I'm wanting to act in spite to hurt them. It's a genuine feeling, and I didn't know what to do with it. I'm like, I'm supposed to be a lead pastor. What do I do with this one? What do I do with spite? So instead of just praying, "God, take this away," I actually went through a bit of an Asaph method, or a Psalm 73 method. I rewrote this psalm, Psalm 73, with that same outline and structure, doing that focusing from I, they, and you. I was wanting to allow myself to be known by God, being emotionally engaged with God, and then acknowledging those things. And And it doesn't always fix everything. But what it did is that I turned my eyes to Jesus. And the process, it was an intimate process with the Lord that was more profound, actually, than just taking the feeling away. So, we're going to go to our next Mentimeter option. And perhaps this is a bit more significant then. And this is just going to be a word cloud that comes up here. So a bunch of words that you get to put in. And over here, I've got a list of emotions, feelings, things that happen inside of us. They're not right or wrong. They just happen inside of us. Or maybe there's something else that you've experienced in the last week or experienced over the last year or you're feeling right now. What is a feeling or an experience or an emotion that maybe you want to bring before the Lord? And then chuck it into... This is all anonymous. No one's going to see what you put in. But if I put in... See if I put in spite, does it come up? There you go. So what are some of the emotions and experiences that have been in the room? We've had exhausted, we've had excitement, fear, loneliness, disconnected, quick to anger, empathetic pain, calmness, sad, hoping, awe. And actually what it's doing is the bigger words there are the more common ones. So what we're seeing is that anxiety, fear, disconnected, frustration, some of the most common experiences for us. What if we took them before the Lord? That's not quite what I was thinking, but you know, lightens the moment a bit. But I'd encourage you this week, or whenever you need to road test Psalm 73 for yourself. It's really quite remarkable that there's this one line in the psalm that, yet I am always with you. Asaph says, yet I am always with you, God. And perhaps for some of us, that might feel a little bit hopeful or a bit of a question, a bit tentative. Am I always with you, God? And the beautiful thing is, as Jesus is completing his ministry, is that he turns that around. He turns that phrase around. It's not a question, or it doesn't come from us. It comes from him. And he says, I am with you always until the very end of the age. He turns it into a promise for us. Next week is Pentecost Sunday, where we remember and we experience, we can re-experience for ourselves the very presence of God with us, that we are not abandoned, and that there are all of those things that we experience and we can have them and have them in the presence of God. I'd just like to actually, I couldn't get past this. Who knows this song? It's tiny. Good. All right. We're gonna sing this. Okay. Is that all right? We're gonna sing this. But I'm gonna need your help because I'm not Asaph. So I'm gonna invite you to stand and bring those emotions. Okay. Whatever you put up there and other things, just have them before the Lord right now. So please stand and just take a moment for whatever that is inside you. that you want to lay bare before the Lord, and then let's sing this.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
Take a moment now, spend some time in prayer before the Lord. See what he wants to do inside you, with you, for you. And maybe he wants to do nothing right now, absolutely nothing. He's just going to leave that feeling, whether that's anxiety, disappointment, confusion, whatever that is. Maybe it's just going to stay there, I don't know. Or maybe he wants to do something. Why don't we just take a moment now, pray before him.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
Please take a seat.